It's something none of us wants to think about, but what could you do to save lives in the frantic moments after, say, a shooting or a car accident? A campaign called Stop the Bleed is an effort aimed at getting people trained and equipped in a bleeding emergency before help arrives. Dr. Matt Levy is chairman of the Stop the Bleed Coalition, and he joins us from Maryland. Dr. Levy, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for taking the time to talk about this such an important topic.
How did this idea come about? How of regular citizens being equipped to help?
Stop the Bleed got its roots around 2013, 2014. And there are a variety of factors that got us to this point. But one of the most important things were the lessons learned from the military on the battlefield about how survival can be improved if everyone knew how to recognize and intervene upon severe bleeding.
How does it work?
What we want people to be able to do is we want them to know what severe bleeding looks like and what those signs and symptoms are. And if they see someone bleeding, what severe bleeding might represent in terms of someone who's confused or who appears like they may be going into shock, someone who has a severe injury like an amputation. And we want people to recognize those types of severe bleeding emergencies and not be afraid to help. We want them to recognize it, to alert or activate the 911 system as soon as possible, and to do something until help arrives. And that something is to compress that wound.
Okay, so people are trained through Stop the Bleed. Can you give us one example of some techniques when you're out there and maybe you're encountering someone who is bleeding?
Yes. So one of the first and most important things someone can do when they encounter someone who's bleeding is apply pressure to that wound. The Stop the Bleed campaign and the Stop the Bleed initiative, the icon is a stop sign with a hand in the middle, and that's not by accident. That's because we want people to know that if they apply pressure with their hands, they can slow down or even stop severe bleeding.
Should we be also using a tourniquet to do that as well, or is that something that's a little more advanced?
So the Stop the Bleed training does include how to use equipment such as a tourniquet to effectively control life-threatening bleeding. What we want people to know is that all bleeding will stop with pressure, and then it becomes a discussion of how do we effectively maintain and continue that pressure. So if the bleeding is on an arm or a leg, and we can get the tourniquet fully around and above or closer to the central portion of the body, or what we would say closer to the heart, we would want to apply that tourniquet. If the bleeding is on a part of the body that we can't get a tourniquet around, then we really have to focus on maintaining and holding pressure.
Is there anything else that you can add to that, like another thing that someone could do?
Yes, it is really important that when people call 911 and they access the 911 system, that they give as much information to that 911 operator as possible. I've listened to 911 calls over the years where time to getting our responders and our professional rescuers to the scene is delayed because we can't really clarify where the injured person is. So when we call 911, it's so important that the caller gives as much detail as possible, where specifically they are.
I've always been taught if someone is hurting, if they've been in an accident or something like that, that you should leave them alone. You should not touch them. You should contact authorities and let those folks who are the experts handle it. This is kind of the opposite of that. But tell me what those few moments mean when it comes to, yeah, I guess, life and death.
Yeah, so someone can bleed to death from a severely bleeding injury in as little as several minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. And even in our most well-designed and most sophisticated emergency response systems, it can take that long or much longer in some cases for our professional rescuers to get there. And so during that period of time, as blood is being lost, the body could go into a state of shock or the person could even bleed to death.
You're an ER doctor, a former paramedic. Talk about those moments and how important those few moments are in saving someone's life. I'm sure you've gone on countless calls where you've gotten to the scene, and perhaps if someone were there to assist before you got there, could that have meant the difference?
Yeah, and I'll be very honest with you. I get a chill down my spine when I'm asked this question because I get asked this question a lot. And indeed, there have been cases and calls I've been on where if someone would have done something sooner, the outcome could have been different. Increasingly and more excitingly, more and more, our paramedics are arriving on scene and someone is doing good care and someone has started this process already. So I believe that there is opportunity for us to turn this tide and to empower the lay public and those there at time of injury to do more about this. And if it's not perfect, that's okay. But what we want to do is kind of turn the odds in the patient's favor of survival.
That's Dr. Matt Levy. He is the chairman of Stop the Bleed Coalition. He teaches basic bleeding control techniques. And we'll have more information on Stop the Bleed training on our website, hereandnow.org. Thank you so much, doctor.
Thank you.